Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It is yellow on air this beautiful Sunday, 10th December. Yes, it is going to be our last show for this December period, and we will resume our air show next year in January, second week January. So for our last show today, we are going to be talking to the youth about Christmas time. But before we go there, we want to just thank again Helen and Rob Rowe for giving us the opportunity as Women of Africa Care to produce these weekly shows. So for our listeners out there, on every Thursday at 9 a.m. or 7 p.m. UK time on Gospel for Grampian Radio, Women of Africa Care on Air shows a program for women. Women, we encourage you to listen if you want to be uplifted, motivated, and inspired to be the best version of yourself. We use Christian principles and life experiences and testimonies to encourage and empower you to be all God that has called you to be. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that God created us to do. So our job as Work on Air is to encourage, uplift, inspire you, and to help you and cheer you as you run your race. So every Thursday, Women of Africa Care on Air produces the Work on Air show. So please tune in if you are a woman and you are seeking encouragement and empowerment. And then on Sundays at 10 a.m. and on Mondays at 10 p.m., we repeat our 10 a.m. Sunday show called Yellow on Air. And on this show, we encourage youth, children that are ages 15 to 35, Yellow on Air, produced by Women of Africa Care Organization, inspires youth to be the best version of themselves, a morally astute generation, a generation that has got good moral values, know where they're going, having vision for their life, dreaming God's dreams for their life, and doing what God has called them to do. So we use Christian principles, we use Jesus and the foundation of God's word as the foundation to inspire, encourage, and uplift you. And we share truths about the word of God so that you do not go away. What the Bible says that in the end days that many will grow cold and fall away from the faith. So it is important for us to tell the youth and encourage the youth so that they can meditate on the word of God and not grow cold and fall away from the faith. Because right now, I think the youth that are living in a very, very, very challenging dispensation, because everything around us is just become wicked. If you drive around in your car, you will look at billboards. It is perverted. It is wicked. Satanism has become a religion. Gender is no longer male and female. In some countries, there's over 50 genders. There's gender confusion. Immorality is ripe. The prevalence of sin is just overwhelming. Even laws have now began to support ungodly acts and regulating ungodly acts as to be acceptable. So everything in society has just gone so far from the laws and the standards of God's word. So it is our job, youth, to encourage you, because we have grown up in a dispensation where we know what it is not to do certain things without anybody telling us, because we had a safe environment and we had parents that taught us and guided us by the foundation of God's word. And we didn't have a lot of information and technology that would come and mess up our mind and influence us in a negative way. But unfortunately, the millennials and the Generation Zs are living in an environment where it is uncontrolled. Every little child has got a phone. YouTube and all technology has given people access to entertainment and information that can mess them up. And so it is our job as Yellow on Air to encourage and uplift our youth so that they do not fall away from the faith because of all the pollution that is out there in terms of wrong information and laws that we are supposed to protect us, but is actually causing us to live a very wicked life. So it is our job and your parents' job to teach you to walk in the ways of the Lord. So if you want to be encouraged on how to live a morally Intelligent Life, then please tune in on Sundays at 10 a.m. And if you miss it because you have to go to church, then tune in on a Monday at 10 p.m. as Yellow on Air encourages you and uplifts you by using God's Word to help you be the best version that God has created you to be, to help you dream God's dreams for your life, to help you run your race with vigor and strength and valor and dignity and truth and honesty and all good values and not evil values. Our job is to make you be a good citizen in this world that we are living in. Because of so much corruption out there, it is easy to follow corruption and think you are doing good. Okay? So you don't want to follow the crowd. You want to follow righteousness. You want to follow what the Word of God says. So today, we want to encourage you about Christmas. Youth, it is Christmas time. And what does that mean to you? What does Christmas tradition mean to you? I grew up in a very traditional Christian home. Every Christmas, we grew up on a farm and we had the privilege of having fir trees around us. Some mom and dad would cut a fir tree and we would decorate it and we would appreciate and understand what Christmas is all about. But if you look at time and as time has evolved, the Christmas has become a secular celebration, no longer a traditional Christian celebration, but a secular celebration. So I want to bring it back home for us to celebrate Christmas for the reason that it was intended. Christmas is a Christian festival. Even though Jesus was not born during December, December was chosen as a period to celebrate Jesus's birth. And so how does the world see Christmas and how are you supposed to see Christmas as a youth? So I went into the Online Britannica and this is how they explain the different viewpoints of Christmas. Traditionally, Christmas is a Christian festival celebrating the birth of Jesus. But in the 20th century, it became a secular family holiday observed by Christians and non-Christians alike. The secular holiday is often devoid of Christian elements, and they bring in the figure of Santa Claus. So they don't use the Jesus and the Mary and the Hark the Herald Angels Sing. They don't use any of the Christian accounts in the Bible of the birth of Jesus, but they bring in some songs that are circular pertaining to Christmas, and like Heck the Dolls, Heck the Hall with decorations, etc. And they bring in Santa Claus. Now, who is Santa Claus? Santa Claus has got nothing to do with the Christian religion. It is not accounted for in the Word of God. So it is not a Christian religious practice. It is a secular practice, and it was derived from a patron called Saint Nicholas. Okay, so and that patron was established in the United States and in a few other countries. So Saint Nicholas was a saint, a Christian saint in the 4th century, was known as Father Christmas because he had given gifts traditionally to children. He would bring children gifts. And it says here that Saint Nicholas was known for his generosity and kindness, which gave rise to the legend that he performed miracles for the poor and unhappy. So this is a legend. A legend is something that over time it became a story, but there's no evidence that it's actually factual. So they say that he performed some miracles to the poor and unhappy, and his reputation was devoted as Nicholas, a patron of giving good gifts. And it was from there that they established this Santa Claus description. A visit from Saint Nicholas was a night before Christmas was how they brought in the Santa Claus, a icon or the Santa Claus personality. Okay. And so they brought in the Santa Claus and they decided to describe him as coming from the North Pole. He has a wife and he's got all these elves working for him to make little gifts, and those little gifts will be dropped off by all children that write him a letter. So whoever believes in Santa Claus, so if you grow up in your home, there's this mythical story that you got to write a letter to Santa Claus, and then they make stories that Saint Nicholas or Santa Claus is going to, in his North Pole, identify what your letter is, and he's going to have his elves make your gift come alive by building that gift for you. And then on Christmas Day, Santa Claus, together with his reindeer and all his elves, are going to come down, not Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, he's going to come down into your chimney, drop your gift that you asked him for at under the Christmas tree, and you need to leave him some cookies and some milk. Now, that is the story that is circular, and it is used as a way of celebrating Christmas, but it is not true. Santa Claus does not exist. So if you in your home and you see a gift under your tree, it's because your parents made you write what you want for Christmas, and they bought it and they put it under the tree. There is no Santa Claus. It is not a reality. It is a mythical story that was derived from Saint Nicholas. Okay. So, and it is nothing to do with Christianity. Christmas in Christianity is all about the birth of Jesus. And so let's then talk about the Christmas tree. Now, according to the Britannica, the contemporary customs in the West is that the Christmas tree origin, it appeared as fir trees decorated with apples, and it was first known in Strasbourg in 1605. They first used candles on trees, recorded by a Cistercian duchess in 1611. And then they had the wreath made of fir branches with four candles denoting the four Sundays of the Advent season. Is of even more recent origin, especially in North America. Okay? And then the custom of the wreaths went into 24 candles, where you put 24 candles on the wreaths before Christmas Day. But because those candles burnt off, they reduced the number back to four. So the tradition of the Christmas tree started in Strasbourg, okay? And there were apples on the tree. Then it says here that according to tradition, the calendar was created in the 19th century by the Munich housewife, who, tired of having to answer endlessly with Christmas when Christmas would come, that the first commercial calendar were printed in Germany in 1851. And the preparation of Christmas is part of the commercialization that it started in the beginning of the month. So even though Christmas is on the 25th of December, everybody starts putting up their trees, etc., before the time. Now, how is Christmas Eve celebrated? Toward the end of the 18th century, the practice of giving gifts to family members became well established. Theologically, the feast day reminded Christians of God's gift to Jesus, to humankind, even as the coming of the wise men. Remember, the Magi came to Bethlehem and they went and they gave Jesus. There were three different wise men and they brought gifts to Jesus. So from a theological perspective, Christians give gifts as a way of acknowledging the birth of Jesus. They give one another gifts as a way of acknowledging the birth of Jesus. And then it became a phenomenon as a circular environment does that too. So the practice of giving gifts, which goes back to the 15th century, contributed to the view that Christmas was a circular holiday focused on family and friends. So it became a family and friend giving gifts, but amongst the Christians, they're relating it back to the story of Jesus, and giving gifts to one another is celebrating the birth of Jesus. And in the circular environment, it's just giving gifts to family and friends. This was one of the reasons why Puritans in the old New England opposed the celebration of Christmas in both England and America, and eventually apparently banning it. They banned celebrating Christmas. So the tradition of celebrating Christmas as a circular family holiday is illustrated by a number of English Christmas carols, such as Here We Come, A Wassailing, or Deck the Halls. Whereas in the Christian environment, we use Mary's Born Child, Jesus Christ, we use Silent Night. So for the non-Christians in a circular environment, there's different types of Christian music. There's different type of Christmas music. And then in the Christian environment, we associate our Christmas carols to the Word of God. Okay, let's go now to, in most recent European countries, gifts are exchanged on Christmas Eve. and with the notion that Jesus was born on the night of the 24th. The morning of the 25th, however, has become most of the times in the North American countries where gifts are exchanged. So here really in the world out there, there's different dates when the gifts are exchanged. In some countries, it's given on the Christmas Eve. In our home, we give it on Christmas Eve. And in many homes, it is on Christmas Day. We give it on Christmas Eve, but we only open it on Christmas Day. And in our home, we celebrate Christmas Eve. Okay, and then we roll it over onto Christmas Day. 26 December is a second Christmas holiday. And because Christmas is a major Christian feast day, most European countries observe the 26th as the second Christian Christmas holiday. The practice recalls the ancient Christian liturgy, noting that the celebration of Christmas, as well as Easter and Pentecost, should be an entire week. So there's talks out there that in history, because of having Easter and Pentecost and the ancient Christian celebrations, it used to be promoted as a week-long celebration, but currently it has been reduced to one day Christmas and an additional holiday, which is the 26th of December. So what does Christmas mean to us Christians? Let's talk about it. So when we know that Jesus was born, when we celebrate Christmas, we are actually celebrating many things. And we're going to talk about it from Luke 1, 26-38. Jesus, the coming eternal King, is announced. So here, Gabriel goes to Mary and he announces that there's going to be born a child and he's going to come to the earth and he is going to be. He said to Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one of the Lord. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And she was overwhelmed when she saw him because she became afraid. And he said, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never have an end." So here, when we celebrate Christmas, we are acknowledging that Jesus, the eternal King, who will reign over Israel and forever, has been born. So we're celebrating an eternal kingdom that is established on earth through Jesus Christ's birth. And that kingdom will be forever. Okay? That is the first thing that we celebrate when we celebrate Christmas, that Jesus came to the earth to establish an eternal kingdom. For example, when you look at the monarchy of the British or the monarchy of any of the other European countries or the monarchy of the kings and queens of Jordan, etc., those monarchies end when the earth ends or when those monarch systems decide to dissolve. But Jesus's monarchy, when he was born, an eternal kingdom was established. That means it's eternal. That's why it's called eternal kingdom. When Jesus was born on the earth, an eternal kingdom was established by his birth and his resurrection. So this monarch system of God's kingdom will never end. It will reign forever. So when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we are celebrating an eternal kingdom that is forever. And that for us is an important celebration because we are also celebrating our role as kings and lords. The Bible says that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when you celebrate Christmas, you are celebrating your kingdom monarch system because you youth are an eternal kingdom. You are part of an eternal kingdom and you are kings in that kingdom because the Bible says we are kings and we are lords. You are lords and you are kings. So when you celebrate Christmas, see it as wow. We are celebrating that we are part of an eternal kingdom. That's what Jesus did when he came on the earth to establish. Then it also says in Luke 2:11, Jesus is the Savior of the world. And in Luke 2:11, that is the announcement. Luke is announcing Jesus, the Savior of the world. "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." So why are you celebrating Christmas? You are celebrating the birth of a savior who is Jesus Christ. So when you celebrate Christmas, you are celebrating your salvation. 1 John 4:14 says, "We have seen and we testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." So we are celebrating not just an eternal kingdom, which we are part of, but we are celebrating our salvation. Jesus has come to save us. Why do you need a Savior, youth, you might ask? Sin has brought death on all mankind. Adam and Eve had ate of the fruit that was forbidden, and all human beings were born dead to alive in sin, meaning our spirit man became dead. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, and they had God's spirit. The minute they sinned, their spirit man was dead to the life of God. Therefore, eternal death was our penalty. So when Jesus came, he came to save mankind from eternal death, meaning that when you die in your natural body, you are resurrected into heaven. You do not take in your eternal body as yet, your immortal body, but the Bible says that absent in the body is present with Christ Jesus. So as a born-again Christian, when you physically die, your spirit man goes to heaven. If you're not born again and you die, your spirit goes to hell and it awaits the final judgment. So, and when your spirit as a born-again Christian goes to heaven, you are with Christ. And then when the final judgment happens, you take on your immortal body and live forever in that immortal state. So Jesus has come to save humanity from eternal hell. That's what it means, Savior of the world. We were born in sin through Adam and Eve's sinful nature, and Jesus came to save us and help us be reborn into the life of God. That is why it's called reborn, because our spirit man is reborn into the life of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:10, Jesus has come to abolish death, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from eternal hell. So that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we will not perish but have eternal life. Okay, so how do we celebrate Christmas, considering that there are so many Christmas traditions out there? There's secular traditions that put an association to the Christmas tree, Christmas Father, and there's Heck the Halls and all these different Christmas songs. What is relevant for us for Christianity in order to celebrate Christmas for the real meaning of Christmas? I want to actually use the story of the celebration of the day of Purim in the book of Esther, because when I was reading the book of Esther and they celebrated Purim, I could relate that account to how we can bring that home to Christmas, because they had overcome the Amalekites, the Agagites. They had overcome them, they defeated them, and they're celebrating their victories. And God reminds the Jews to celebrate the day of Purim throughout the ages as the victory they received from God from being annihilated. And when I look at Christmas, I think about Jesus doing the same thing. Jesus came on the earth to save us from being eternally annihilated by being burnt in hell. And how Purim celebrated their day of yearly Purim was exchanging gifts in celebration of their victory. And if we can, you know, compare that to Christmas and understand that Jesus came to save us and has given us all these amazing gifts, and he saved us from eternal hell, eternal annihilation, then we can give gifts and acknowledge that just like how they celebrated Purim for the right reasons, we have victory, and therefore we acknowledge that victory that Jesus had done on the earth for us by exchanging gifts and understanding the true meaning of Christmas. So I'm going to go into the story of Purim. Esther 9:18 says, "But the Jews who were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day as well as on the 14th, and on the 15th of the month they rested, and it made it a day of feasting and gladness." Notice that on the 13th and 14th, they had defeated the enemy. They had defeated all the Agagites. And then on the 15th, they rested and they made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled town celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as a holiday and for sending presents to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them and had cast lots to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king and commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. So they call these days Purim after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this matter and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail they would celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions, according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, that the memory of them should not perish among the descendants. Now, for me, this was very important. It says that the memory of them should not perish among the descendants. Why? They had gotten victory from being annihilated. God had preserved the Jewish nation by giving them victory. And in celebrating this auspicious occasion of victory, they are remembering what God had done and had saved them. And they do that by exchanging gifts. And so for us to preserve what Jesus has done for us on the cross, a good way is by enjoying Christmas to the truest meaning and not allowing the secular influence of Christmas to become the Christmas celebration of our Christian communities. It is so important for us to separate how we celebrate Christmas as born-again Christians when compared to how the world celebrates it. Because if we do not preserve why we celebrate Christmas, then we will begin to follow Christmas the way the world does. And suddenly it just becomes a secular commercial holiday and we do not understand the truest meaning of it. So you should take cognizance of why Purim is being celebrated so that they could understand that God saved them, saved and preserved the Jewish nation from perishing. And so how you preserve our Christian tradition, our Christian customs, is by acknowledging that Christmas is all about what Jesus came to do on the earth, to establish an eternal kingdom, to save the world from being annihilated. And we do that by celebrating Jesus's actions on the earth and victories on the earth, by exchanging gifts and giving all the glory and honor to Jesus. When we give all the glory and honor to Jesus, we are then communicating and preserving why we celebrate Christmas, and we preserve our Christian culture and the Word of God. We preserve our belief system, because really, Gospel for Grampian Youth, there are so many different versions of Christianity out there. There's the New Age. There's the Dark Age. There's just so many different ways of how Christianity is being portrayed, presented, and ministered. And so, you know, there's even the statement that many religions lead to God. And I was actually listening to something yesterday, and it actually made me realize that many religions do not lead to God. Or actually, the statement was all religions lead to God. And that is not true. In the Muslim Quran, it says that if you believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. In the Bible, it says that Jesus is the truth and the way to eternal life. Jehovah Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is God. And you cannot go to the Father through Jesus. It's a sin according to the Jehovah Witness. You've got to go straight to Jehovah God. And so is all religions leading to heaven? No, because right now I gave you three religions and all of them say a different account, a different way. And all those different ways do not lead to heaven. So all religions do not lead to heaven. And you have to become aware of what is the way, the truth, and the life. And the word of God, the Bible says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the eternal life. And so you cannot allow yourself to be ignorant of the word of God, because you will then begin to see the name Jesus in another religion and think, oh, maybe that religion is right because the name of Jesus is in the Quran, or the name of Jesus is mentioned in another religion. Maybe that is God. I mean, I know that there's the Hindu traditions where they believe that even Jesus is part of their belief system. They've got all these different idols that they believe in. And one of them, they put their Jesus is part of that, the God that they believe in. And so you have to know the word of God so that you can know that what is the correct culture and way of life as a Christian. Don't assume that because you see Jesus written in some different religions that that could be the correct way to God, or that because Jesus is in a few different religious books, that means all religions lead to heaven. It doesn't. So you need to know the word of God. So during times where we celebrate Christmas and other cultures and secular world environment celebrate Christmas, you don't now follow their patterns because you think everyone's celebrating Christians, so maybe the secular is also Christian culture as well. Know the Bible so you know what the boundaries of celebrating Christmas is all about. Okay, so what are the gifts Jesus has given us that we can celebrate during Christmas? How do we celebrate Christmas different from the secular world? Maybe one way I can suggest you celebrate it is by acknowledging the gifts that Jesus has given us. So while the secular world just gives gifts, in your Christian tradition every year, when you celebrate and you give gifts, you can also acknowledge the spiritual gifts Jesus has given us. So what are some of the gifts Jesus has given us? The first thing is God gives us good gifts. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of his creatures. So here it says in James 1 that God gives good gifts and it's perfect gifts. So one thing you can celebrate in Christmas when you are giving gifts is that the gifts from God are perfect. That while we appreciate the gifts we give each other, we also celebrate the perfect gifts God's given us. He's given us his perfect son that is without sin to be the sacrifice for us on the cross. So when we look at the cross, we see there was a divine exchange. He took our imperfect life and gave us his perfect life. Therefore, we can say, in Christ you live, in Christ you move, in Christ you have your being. You've got a divine exchange. You've got the gift of life in Christ Jesus. That's one of the perfect gifts you got from heaven. And you can celebrate that over Christmas. Another gift you can celebrate over Christmas is the gift of eternal life. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So a big thing you celebrate this Christmas is not just the birth of Jesus, but the finished work on the cross. The finished work on the cross means you and I have got eternal life. We haven't earned it. We haven't deserved it. It was the grace of God that saved us. The minute you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I accept you as Lord of my life. You have got eternal life. You haven't worked for it. You haven't earned it. You haven't deserved it. While you and I have, we're sinners, Jesus died for us on the cross. And when we accept him as Lord, we have that gift of eternal life. It is priceless. So when you celebrate Christmas, you are celebrating a priceless gift, because no human in the sinful form could have paid for that price. Jesus, an eternal God, deity, he is God himself, left heaven and came and gave us his life on that cross. And it is priceless. So when you celebrate Christmas this year, do not take for granted that eternal life that God has given you, and celebrate that gift of life that you've been given in Christ Jesus. I love what Romans 6:23 says. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord. During Christmas, we all go out and spend to buy gifts for one another. But this is what God did. He gave us a free gift. We cannot buy it. We cannot purchase it. It is priceless. And nobody can qualify to buy that kind of gift, because you have to be without sin and perfect in order to give the gift of life. And Jesus gave us that life. That is why it's a free gift. So when you celebrate Christmas this year, you are celebrating a priceless gift that was given to you free of charge. Then another reason you're celebrating Christmas is because you have divine inheritance. Divine inheritance. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? I want to repeat that. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? So here's this. God is freely giving us all things. Freely, willingly, joyfully giving us all things. Divine inheritance. We haven't earned it. We haven't paid for it. All we need to do is have faith for it, because by faith we receive the promises of God, right? Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children of God, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we also may be glorified together. So here Romans 8:16 is saying that we are joint heirs with Christ. So we have divine inheritance. All Christ has, we have. We have. Just like what the Bible says, as Christ is in heaven at the right hand side of the Father in Christ Jesus, we are there too. But we are on earth. As he is in heaven, so are we on the earth. So the Bible says that Christ is headship. He's the head and not the tail. He's above and not below. He has all authority. So like he has all authority in heaven, we have all authority on earth. Everything he has for us, strength, riches, healing, wealth, is ours. When he went on the cross, he took on our weaknesses. He took on our poverty. He took on our sicknesses, and he gave us his richness. He gave us his strength. He gave us healing. He gave us his help, his riches, his strength. In Christ I live. In Christ I move. In Christ I have my being. So when we celebrate Christmas, let us understand we have a divine inheritance, and that means it's eternal. It's not just for the earth life. Whatever you build in the physical and natural now, when you die, it's left behind. And when the earth gets destroyed, everything on the earth is destroyed. So whatever you build on the earth in the natural stays here and gets destroyed. It will perish. But whatever is of the Lord, whatever spiritual inheritance that Jesus has given us, that is for eternity. So when you celebrate Christmas, celebrate your eternal inheritance, which is an eternal life without sickness, without death, without poverty, without weakness. That is your divine inheritance. Living forever in a healthy state, wealthy state, rich state, strong state. That is divine inheritance. And then let's go to another gift, the gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So here Jesus is saying that he has given us the gift of righteousness. We are not righteous on our own, because one sin makes us unrighteous. I am going to be 50 next week. If I'd made one lie over my 50 years, I am guilty. Therefore, I've got unrighteousness in me. It takes me to break one law to be unrighteous. Therefore, I am not righteous. Okay? And in my 50 years, I sure didn't just break one law. I'm sure I broke many of the laws. So I am unrighteous. One or not, I'm unrighteous. One or many, I'm unrighteous. But the Bible says that's why Jesus given us his gift of righteousness. We cannot buy it. We cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it. It is a gift from God. And that gift means that my spirit man, when I became reborn and you became reborn, our spirit is as righteous as Christ without sin. And that is where the spirit of the Lord lives. He lives in our spirit man, because it is righteous as Christ is. Therefore, he can dwell in it. So we have been given the gift of righteousness. And in that gift of righteousness, the presence of the Lord dwells with us. So we are as righteous as Christ is. And that is the gift God has given us. That means we have the life of Christ in us. And that is the life that the Lord wants us to walk in. That is why the Bible says walk in righteousness. Because what? We have righteousness in our spirit, man. And God wants that righteousness to be expressed in our soul and expressed in our body. And so a good way of you becoming aware and walking in righteousness is by celebrating during Christmas the gift of righteousness. So this Christmas, make it a bit different. Acknowledge that Jesus has given you the gift of righteousness, and make that one of your reasons for celebrating Christmas this year by walking in righteousness. You know, if I get an expensive gift from somebody that I haven't earned or deserved, I will look after it. I will look after it because it is something that I didn't deserve, and it was kind of them to give it to me because it was priceless. And so when we acknowledge that Jesus has given us the gift of righteousness, then we will look after and celebrate and acknowledge that gift by aligning ourselves to that way of life. If he has given us his way of life, his righteousness, then it is our job as a response to his goodness by saying, Lord, I acknowledge you've given me the gift of righteousness, and I'm going to walk in that righteousness because I celebrate that gift. When you don't celebrate the gift of righteousness, you begin to walk like the world and you are carnally minded. You sin and you think nothing of it. But when you celebrate the gift of righteousness that Jesus Christ has given you, you will make a concerted effort in your soul and your natural way of living to walk in that righteousness, because you acknowledge that you are as righteous as Christ is. And therefore, you want to walk in goodness. You want to walk in things that are noble. You want to say good things. You want to think good thoughts. You want to do good things because you're walking in that righteousness, because you celebrate the gift that Jesus has given you. It is priceless. And then another gift Jesus has given us is the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 says, Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I love this. The Holy Spirit is a gift of God. We don't deserve the Holy Spirit living in us because we are sinners. But because of the gift of righteousness in us, God was able to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look what an amazing, loving Father. He said that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. He's given us the gift of righteousness, which is Christ Jesus' righteousness. He's given us the gift of life, which came through Jesus Christ, the perfect Son. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is God in spirit. Those are perfect gifts. So if you want to celebrate this Christmas, the gifts of exchange, celebrate the gifts that Jesus has given us. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:45 says, all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out to the Gentiles also. Amazing. God has given his gift of the Holy Spirit freely to everyone who calls on the name of Jesus and receives Jesus as Lord of their life. It is a free gift to everybody who is born again. Imagine that. Gifts you buy for people, you pay for it, and it perishes. And sometimes it's not something you want, or it's not perfect. But the gifts that come from the Father, the Holy Spirit, is God in spirit, and He's perfect. Everything of God is perfect. The Holy Spirit is God's power. He's omnipotent. He is the Spirit that was in the beginning of creation, hovering over the waters, and the Spirit was over the waters. That same Holy Spirit, God in spirit, was there when Jesus was resurrected from the water, when he was baptized in the water and he got immersed, he came out of the water. The Holy Spirit came upon him as the first gift. He received Jesus in the natural incarnated form as a human being. When he came out of the water, he was the first person on earth to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in the way that we would follow being baptized. Remember, the Holy Spirit came upon man in the past. He came on them for works. But with Jesus, he was baptized. Jesus was baptized with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that gift we have too. Isn't that amazing? The Father said when Jesus had come out of the water, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the minute the Father said that, the Spirit of God came and dwelt with him. They became one. And that is what happens when we become born again. When we become born again, the Father sees us as righteous as Jesus. And therefore, the Holy Spirit comes and lives with us the way he lived with Jesus. Can you see? Jesus, being the perfect Son, received the Holy Spirit. And when he died on that cross, we then become perfect like him. Perfect in Christ Jesus, the minute we accept him as Lord. And therefore, the Holy Spirit comes, dwells with us the way he dwelt with Jesus. And the Father sees us as righteous as Christ. Can you see the gifts of God? It perfects us. It's not only perfect, but it perfects us. We as righteous as Christ is in our spirit, man. That is perfection. We have the Spirit of God living in us. He is perfect. So we have perfect, good, eternal gifts with us. So when we celebrate Christmas, let's make it a point every year to celebrate the gifts that God has given us. One, the gift of eternal life. Two, the gift of divine inheritance. Three, we're acknowledging that he's given us good gifts and the gifts are perfect. Four, the gift of his righteousness. Therefore, we can go boldly into the throne room of grace in time of need. We don't have to go and slaughter a perfect two-year-old or under two-year-old animal that is without spot or blemish in order for us to get into the presence of God. Jesus' sacrifice became perfect for us to be able to say, "Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus," for us to enter into the throne room of grace, because the Father sees us as perfect as Christ through the blood of Jesus. Can you see? We have divine inheritance. We begin to start living in our sonship with the Father the minute we receive Jesus Christ. So the gift of righteousness has qualified us to enter the throne room of grace and to fellowship with Father. The Bible says, Jesus said, the Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. The gift of righteousness allows us to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because we are born again and we are as righteous as Christ. Therefore, we can fellowship with the Father. And then I want to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit before I talk about the gifts that the Spirit of God gives us. The gift of the Holy Spirit, he is sent to be with us. The Bible says that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. That is the Holy Spirit with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He will be with us throughout the ages. The Bible says it. And he is sent by the Father to lead us into all truth and righteousness. So Holy Spirit is the power of God, the person of God living in us, who has all the power from God to lead us into all truth and righteousness. Therefore, we live an undefeated life, because the all-powerful God lives in us. He is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that he is the power of God. So we have the most powerful being in the universe, who is the Holy Spirit, a gift sent from heaven to be with us. Therefore, we can never be defeated. Therefore, we always should live from a point of victory, because he leads us into all truth and righteousness. In righteousness, we have protection. In truth, nobody can come against the truth and win, because the truth is the winner. The truth prevails, right? So He leads us into truth and righteousness, and he is God's power. Nothing can come against the power of God. So when you acknowledge this Christmas that you have the Holy Spirit, a gift from God, and treasure him and celebrate him, then you will be able to walk in an undefeated manner. And last and importantly is the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. Let us celebrate those gifts, because when we celebrate those gifts yearly, we acknowledge that God has given us gifts, and we fan those flames. We make those flames become fires. We use the gifts of God, God has given us. And when we celebrate those gifts yearly during Christmas as a way of acknowledging the gifts of God, we begin to grow the gifts. Because when you think about the gifts God gives you and you meditate on those gifts, you want to go and grow those gifts by applying talent on it. It's like, for example, if you know you've got an ability, you work on that ability or that talent or that skill to grow that talent or skill. So when you know God has given you the gift of speaking in tongues, you practice speaking in tongues so that you can increase in the language. If you know that God has given you the ability to prophesy, then you practice fellowship with the Lord in order to be able to use the gift of prophecy. And you go to prophetic school, sessions, etc., to grow the gift. So when we have Christmas and we celebrate the gifts Holy Spirit's given us, we become aware of it and we want to grow the gift, as in letting it work through us. When I say grow the gift, I mean fan it into flames that it can be used. Okay? It can be used. It says here in 1 Corinthians 12, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are differences of diversity of activities, but it is the same God at work in all. And so it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each of us, to each one for the profit of all. So God gives us gifts not for ourselves. It's like an apple tree. The apple tree, the apples is not for the tree. The apples are for the consumers. Similarly, when God gives us a gift, the gift is not for us, it's for those out there that need it. Okay? So that's what the Bible is saying. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge, to another the word the gift of faith, to another the gift of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another the prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse tongues, and another interpretation of tongues. But all in all, it is the same Spirit of God. So, gospel for Grampian youth listeners, God has given us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit chooses the gifts we need to have. And when you know the gifts God has given you, and you know the talents he's given you, you celebrate it. Because he's given you that gift. If you don't celebrate those gifts and talents God has given you, you are going to become like that receiver of the one talent. Remember the account of the 5 talent, 3 talent, and 1 talent. Jesus refers to a businessman but he was talking about himself. He says, God has chosen to give people gifts. To one, he gave 1 gift, to the other, 3 gifts, to the other, 5 gifts. The one that had 5 gifts took the gifts and or the talents and invested it for multiplication, and he doubled it. The other one with the 3 talents took it, did something with it, and brought a investment return. The one with the 1 gift took it, buried it, and did not have any investment return. So when the businessman came back, he looked at him and says, but I've given you all the gifts, what did you do? And he took the 1 gift, the one that from the one that buried it, and he went and he gave it to the others that were faithful with the gifts that he'd given them, because they did something with it. So when you a good way of acknowledging your gifts so that you don't bury it is by using Christmas as a way to say, Lord, as we're exchanging gifts, I'm reminded of the gifts you've given me. And I'm so grateful that you've given me the ability to speak in tongues. I'm so grateful that you've given me the ability to interpret in tongues. If God has given you the gift of healing, ask him, where should I go use this gift? If he says to you, go to the hospitals and lay hands on the people there because they need that gift in order to be healed. That gift is not you working, it's me working in you to heal them. And then you submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit and you go there, and the gift of God in you is bringing people well. What greater gift is that? God's given you gifts, and through you, other people are healed. Through you, other people are receiving their miracles. Through you, people who don't have faith to believe in things receive what God would have them have, because your gift of faith has helped them receive what they needed. So your gift at work is going to help society that need it. But if you don't know your gift, and you don't celebrate your gift, and you don't exercise your gift, other people that God needs to be receiving that gift or that healing or that deliverance will be robbed of it. That is why it's important for you, perhaps during Christmas, when you are celebrating what Jesus has done, also, and you're exchanging the natural gifts that you buy for one another, become aware of all the gifts God has given you. And in becoming aware of it, you will want to fan it into flame. You are aware of it. You're making yourself acknowledge it. And then every year you go back and you say, Lord, you gave me the gift of healing. I healed so many people. I mean, the Holy Spirit led me to so many people. And through me, the gift of God was used to heal so many people. I thank you, Lord, that I am a 5-talent investor. So when you come back, you're going to reward me for investing double what you gave me. You gave me the gift of healing, and I made sure that I went to all the places Holy Spirit told me to go to, and I laid hands on them, and they were healed because I exercised the gift you've given me. Therefore, I will get a 5-talent reward, and not a talent of somebody that buried it in the ground because God gave them a gift. They never acknowledged it. They never used it. They never celebrated it. And therefore, it was not ever used. Do not become a person that God gives you a gift and you never use it. So maybe this Christmas, our youth, as we celebrate Christmas time, take cognizance of all the gifts God has given you and celebrate that as you celebrate one another when you're handing out gifts. Make it a duty to know that just like during the time of Purim, they celebrated God defeated the enemy, the Agagites, and gave them victory from annihilation. You celebrate Christmas that God saved us from being eternally annihilated. And with that, he's given us many gifts on the earth to be able to live a rewarding life here. And we know that whatever we do, we have a divine inheritance and eternal inheritance. We are part of an eternal kingdom. We have good gifts. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit who lives with us. Therefore, we have power living with us. The most powerful being in the universe lives with us. We are strong and conquerors, and we have the gift of righteousness. Therefore, we can walk in righteousness because we live in righteousness. Our spirit man lives in Christ Jesus in righteousness. Therefore, we can walk in that righteousness by just submitting to the Holy Spirit who lives in us. When you understand all these gifts over Christmas and make it a traditional yearly Christmas acknowledgement and celebration, then you will walk in the fullness of God, and the circular Christmas traditions will never, ever, ever cause you to fall away from the faith. So I want to wish you all an amazing Christmas. May you be blessed, acknowledge the gifts that God has given you, and celebrate Christmas knowing that Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. And just give God all the glory for every good and perfect gift that he's given you, because every gift that God's given us is perfect. Jesus is perfect. The Holy Spirit is perfect. Eternal life is perfect and rewarding. We have divine inheritance that is riches untold, that is immeasurable, and that it is priceless. So you've got amazing gifts from God. This Christmas, celebrate those gifts and thank Jesus for coming on the earth so that we can have those amazing gifts bestowed upon us. Happy Christmas. From Women of Africa Care, from Yellow on Air, have a wonderful new year, and we will speak to you in the new year. And we love you. We appreciate you. And to Gospel for Grampian Radio Station, Robin Helen Rowe, a Merry Christmas from Yellow on Air and Work on Air. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to make a difference to the youth and the women out there weekly through our weekly show. Ta-ta.